Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Hey, 10 to Lifers, and welcome back to an all new episode. Now, let me start by saying, wow, it has been years since I first sat down to cover this story. Yet, even now, the details, they still make my stomach just absolutely turn. Now, back in 2018, the world was completely stunned by the discovery of what later became known as the House of Horrors. Behind the closed doors of a very quiet home in Paris, California, 13 siblings were found living in unimaginable conditions. I'm talking chained to beds, starved, beaten, and completely isolated from the world. Their parents, David and Louise Turpin, they looked like a typical suburban couple on the outside. They had just renewed their vows in Las Vegas. They were smiling for family photos at Disneyland. Very unassuming. But inside that home was a nightmare that had been going on for decades. Now, when I first covered this story back in 2020 and continued following it through 2021 and even 2022, I remember thinking to myself, like, okay, finally, these kids are safe. Yes, they went through a horrific, horrific upbringing, but now they are safe, they are being taken care of, they are loved, they can start to rebuild their lives. They were out of that house, they were getting the help that they needed. But as we later learned, sadly, that wasn't true. So today, we are reopening the Turpin case. We are revisiting a story that truly haunted the nation. We'll look back at the key moments that completely shocked the world. We will retrace where it all began, and we are going to uncover what has happened in the years since. Now, if you have followed this case from the beginning, you already know that it is one that will definitely stay with you. But if you're hearing it for the very first time, I want to give you a bit of a warning. Brace yourself. Because the truth behind the Turpin family, it is darker, more complex, and more unbelievable than anyone could have ever imagined. I'm Annie Elise, this is 10 to Life, and let's get into it. This horror case starts in January 2018 when a 911 call led police to a house about 70 miles outside of LA, California, and they made a gruesome discovery. When police arrived, they discovered that 13 children had suffered abuse and torture at the hands of their parents, Louise and David Turpin. Dating back to July 1988 all the way through March 2015, Louise and David had 13 children, 10 daughters and 3 sons. In the late 1990s, Louise and David and the family moved to Fort Worth, Texas, and neighbors described them as not really interacting with other neighbors, they weren't very talkative, they rarely saw them outside, and they say that they never saw the children. During that time, one of the girls was bullied at school for wearing the same clothes every day and teased for smelling of body odor. Fast forward, and in June 2001, the very first police interaction with the Turpin family takes place. And the sheriff deputies go to the Turpin house because there were reports coming in that a 4-year-old girl had been bitten by a border collie. Nothing sinister, nothing crazy, but still, their first interaction with the police. Then fast forward a couple more years to February 2003, and they have their second encounter with the police. And this time the sheriffs go to the Turpin house because apparently their pigs got loose. Yes, they had pet pigs apparently. And they ate a 55-pound bag of dog food belonging to the neighbor. Which that whole story is so bizarre. First of all, I guess people have many different pets, but I just haven't really ever heard of a lot of pet pigs. And then a neighbor calling the cops on their other neighbor because their pet pig ate their dog food. I mean, it's just so crazy and bizarre. But again, nothing sinister, nothing criminal, just another encounter with the police. In June 2010, the entire family decides to move moved from Texas to California. So they moved to a beautiful two-story home in Murrieta, California, which is just outside of Riverside County. The reason for the relocation was due to David's job, but again, neighbors say they didn't interact with anyone, that they rarely saw the children, and that they were just very standoffish and kept to themselves. The oldest son was enrolled in classes at Mount SAC, a local community college. However, his mom, Louise, would always go to campus with him and wait for him outside of the classroom to escort him home. She never let him go to campus alone, and she would always sit there and wait outside. The following year, in October 2011, Louise and David decide they want to renew their vows and head to Vegas with the entire clan of children. They go to Vegas, they renew their vows in a little wedding chapel, and they have Elvis actually doing the ceremony. And they actually post photos online, which is very interesting because they were so notorious for keeping to themselves. And in these photos, you can see all of the children, and they are completely dressed alike, similar haircuts, the exact same outfits, and it kind of looks like a little bit of a weird cult. The next year, in 2012, the family goes on a big family outing to Disneyland, and again, they post photos online, and these children are all dressed alike, they look like this little cult, it is just very, very bizarre. In 2014, the family moves from that home in Murrieta to a home in Lake Paris, which is very close to Murrieta, again in Riverside County. And shocking, again, neighbors say they never interacted with them and they never saw the children. In December 2016, the family participated in a community holiday decorating contest. They built a nativity scene in their front yard, and five of the 13 children were present with Luis and David during this community outing. Looking back now, it's strange to think about, right? I mean, these public glimpses of a family that, from the outside, almost seemed like they were trying to fit in, smiling for pictures, showing up at community events. But something happened after that. Something shifted between the family that showed up to Disneyland in matching outfits and then the nightmare that was finally exposed just a couple of years later. At 6 a.m. on January 14th, 2018, 13-year-old Jolinda Turpin and 17-year-old Jordan Turpin left their home through a small window. 13-year-old Jolinda became frightened and nervous, so she went back in, but Jordan continued and stayed out. Jordan gets a little bit of distance and she calls 911 using one of her mom's old deactivated phone. But helpful hint, if you're ever in a situation like this or you're in a situation that you need to call 911 and don't have access to your phone, even if a cell phone is disabled and not activated, it still will dial 911. The 911 call lasts for 20 minutes where Jordan's on the phone with this 911 operator and she's explaining to her how she and 12 of her siblings have been abused by her parents. It really just breaks my heart every single time. No matter how many times I've seen this footage or have listened to it, it never gets any easier. And if you're watching this episode on YouTube, you will see the real police body cam video, the moment that the officers finally meet Jordan Turpin after her brave, heroic, and just incredibly strong escape. You'll hear her voice, you'll see how scared she is, and you will understand just how much courage it took for her to get to that moment. And as it plays, I'm going to break down what's happening, and I'm going to share my thoughts on what we're seeing and what we're hearing.
Hi, what's going on?
Okay. I just ran away from home.
Okay.
And I live in a family of 15.
Okay.
My two little sisters right now are chained up.
They're chained up?
Yes.
Where are they chained up at?
On their bed. Now, mother didn't chain them up just to beat me.
Now, what first catches my attention here is she clearly sounds extremely nervous and very much in distress. In addition to that, though, we know that she has been locked inside this house for what, almost 17 years now, with no schooling, I would imagine probably limited to none when it comes to education. So it almost sounds as though she's also looking for the right words to describe what is going on, as though she doesn't quite know what those words are. And we see a little bit more of that as we go through.
They're chained up because they stole mother's food. But I'm sorry if I talk too much. Okay. I've never talked to anybody out there, so I've never been alone with a person, so this is very hard for me to talk.
Now, notice that, how she says, I've never talked to anybody out there. Now, this immediately stuck out to me because it kind of goes back to the brainwashing and the power. You would imagine, hearing this, that the parents probably often said, you're not allowed out there, it's dangerous out there, you don't know what kind of people are around out there. I just found it a very interesting choice of words that she said, I've never talked to anyone out there, almost identifying the outside world as a singular place.
How did you, do your parents know you left your house?
No, they don't.
Do you take any medication?
with the medication.
So here, too, I would imagine that the police officer is thinking, you know, this young woman seems very agitated, in distress. She, remember, looks much, much younger than she actually is. She's only 17, but she looks much younger because she's been so malnourished. So I could imagine his thought process is perhaps she's run away from home, perhaps she's in distress and does take medication for something. But it's so telling that Jordan doesn't even know what medication is. She's asking, what is medication? Which I would imagine in her 17 years of living that she's had a cold, a headache, some sort of illness or condition where she's needed to take medication. And this leads me to believe that she never has. And again, following her next statement, you'll see that she really never has taken any sort of medication. And she doesn't even know what it is.
Medication?
Yeah, what's medication?
Do you take pills? Do you take pills?
Oh, I don't think I've ever taken a pill before.
Okay.
Right, I haven't. But our parents are abusing. They abuse us. But the reason I called and the reason I managed to get out here, this is one of the most scariest things I've ever done. I'm terrified. But I called because my two little sisters, they're chained up right now.
This was a turning point, I believe, in this encounter with the police officer, because he asks, do you have photos? We already know he asked, are you on medication? Again, just, I would imagine, believing that this young teenager had just run away from home, possibly was having a dispute with her parents. So, and then she has this grandiose story of, I have 15 siblings, they're chained up, we, you know, our mother doesn't feed us, all of these things, to where he's like, okay, do you have proof? And she says yes. And she says she does have pictures. And she, it blows my mind that she and her siblings had the wherewithal to have those images on hand to show, because I just think to myself, imagine if she didn't have those photos. Imagine if when the officer asks that, if she says, no, I don't, but I promise it's true, believe me. Would he have investigated this and reacted the way he does? Or would he have thought that she was in fact just storytelling and was mad at her parents, possibly fighting and ran away, and then came up with, again, this grandiose story of her siblings being chained up and all of these things, and returned her home back into what is, I could only describe as hell. I feel as though having these images was the saving grace in this moment and what really led to the freeing of the siblings, because I don't know that that would have happened had Jordan not had these images.
I actually didn't have it, and then one of my sisters told me I need to get pictures.
You have pictures of your sisters chained up?
Yes, but they're in here. Okay. I don't have proof of everything, but I have proof that my sisters are chained up. So see, and you can look at them. See, those are the places that make in on them. And see how dirty she is? We're so filthy. We don't take baths. We don't.
How did your sisters get like this?
Okay.
Your parents chained them up?
Yes, because they stole food.
Okay.
But they stole it because they were hungry.
Who took this picture?
I did. I took those pictures.
Okay. You make sure to save these, okay?
Okay, I will.
Don't get rid of those.
I will.
Can you even imagine being Jordan in that moment? I mean, the fear, the uncertainty, and the courage that it took to just stand there and speak after everything that she had been through. Now, I obviously can't even begin to fully understand what that must have felt like, but I can only imagine probably a mix of relief, fear, maybe even a little bit of hope. Now, thankfully, the officers did believe her, and they kept Jordan safe in the back of their patrol car while they drove to the family Turpin house and knocked on the door for themselves.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, sorry to bug you.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
You know those nights when you just don't sleep, where you toss, you turn, and then the next day everything just feels harder? Well, that is where CB Distillery comes in, because their CBD products actually work with your body to help ease stress, calm your mind, and support better sleep. Now, what customers are loving about CB Distillery is that it's made with the highest quality clean ingredients. No fillers, no junk, just premium CBD. And honestly, I've tried it, and when I have, I wake up feeling rested instead of groggy, which I feel like just kind of sets my day off on the right foot. Over 2 million people trust CB Distillery, and for good reason. Whether it's for sleep, stress, or even post-workout recovery, they have something for everyone. So if you're ready to finally get better sleep, stress less, and just feel good in your own skin again, you've got to try CB Distillery. And right now, you can get 25% off your entire order when you visit cbdistillery.com and use my promo code 10TOLIFE. That's cbdistillery.com, promo code 10TOLIFE.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
America's social casino. CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Let me walk you through what we're seeing here. Luis and David Turpin answer the door when the officers arrive, and you can tell immediately that something shifts in their faces. Even with their blank, confused expressions, you can see it in Luis's eyes. She knows. She knows that if they step 1 foot inside that house, it is game over.
We got a call for a check the welfare here at your house. So
for what?
A check the welfare.
Okay, so the way that David is just standing in the doorway right now in this moment, it's almost like he's blocking them from coming in. And it's infuriating because he has this look on his face that is a mix of arrogance, annoyance, almost like he's the one who's being inconvenienced here. For me, it truly makes my skin just crawl. But I really want you, for those of you who are watching, to pay attention to where he is standing. Because that spot right there, it's not so random. I love how the officers handled that. They never mention Jordan's name to David and Luis, even though she's safe in the patrol car outside, because they clearly understand the danger that she would be in if these two monsters ever realized that she was the one who escaped. I mean, it's such a small detail in the grand scheme of things, but I do think it says everything about how seriously they're taking her safety.
So just basically check on everybody, make sure everybody's okay.
Yeah, why?
Do you guys have kids in the house?
Yes.
Okay, do you mind if we come in and just take a look, make sure everybody's safe and everything's okay?
So the officers now step inside the home, and from the body cam footage, you can see it instantly. This house, this place, it is a complete disaster. Every inch of this house is covered in filth, in trash. I mean, old food, boxes, bottles, papers, grime. I mean, it's filth beyond comprehension. And it's horrifying to imagine anyone living here, let alone 13 children. So these officers, they head toward the back bedrooms, and they find two tiny rooms that, quite frankly, are just as bad. The first one has some small bunk beds and almost nothing else in it besides dirt and clutter. And the second one is crammed with another set of bunk beds and a filthy mattress just lying there right there on the floor. And in this room, in that second room, is where the officers find two of the little girls. One of these officers asks to see one of the girls' wrists on her arm. And when she shows him, it's clear these are the same girls from Jordan's photos. They aren't chained at that exact moment, but the officers knew they needed to begin searching for the restraints that Jordan had described. Now, meanwhile, up front, one officer stays near the door with David and Luis. And remember how I mentioned earlier how David was just standing in that doorway, almost like he was blocking something? Well, that's because he was. And thankfully, one of the other officers finally notices. As officers enter the third bedroom, they find one of the most heartbreaking scenes imaginable. A young boy just chained to this top bunk on this set of bunk beds and chained to it by his wrists and his ankles. Now, at almost the exact same time, the officers in the back room found the chains that matched Jordan's photos. They had been tucked away deep in the closet. So that's when you finally hear one of them say out loud, you know, all right, let's detain them, which good. And just like that, David and Louise Turpin are finally under arrest. In the body cam footage, as the officers are leading them out to the patrol cars, you can hear Louise just calmly saying, I've never been in trouble. This is a first for me. I don't understand. And just to listen to what the officer asks her next and her response.
Are there keys to the little locks? There. Yes. Okay, where are they?
My son and daughter can get them.
Okay.
That's
so
in the house.
The ones that are in the house, they know where they are?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Is that what this is about?
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, definitely. We need to make sure that the kids are safe and that they're not tied up.
I know, so, that's understandable, but I can explain that.
She actually asks, is that what this is about? Before then saying, I can explain that. Which, explain what exactly? There's no explaining away the sight of your children chained to beds, starving, surrounded by filth.
As the investigation begins, it takes a team of at least 5 sheriff deputies to remove and empty out that putrid house. And they had to open every single door and every single window to air the house out because of how bad the stench was. Which, it's probably the first time that house has ever seen sunlight or fresh air in years. Now that the arrests have been made and there's clearly a search happening at the house, the community starts buzzing. And 2 days after the initial 911 call, the Riverside County Sheriff's Department holds a news conference.
I do want to tell you up front, and I'll probably mention it again, this is an ongoing investigation. We are at the beginning, not the end. We do have enough information to go forward and file charges, and that's what we'll be discussing today. The charges that we filed are the following. We have filed 12 counts of violation of Penal Code Section 206 against both David and Louise Turpin. That is torture. We filed 1 count of a violation of Penal Code Section 288B1 against David Turpin, which is lewd act on a child by force or fear or duress. We filed 7 counts of violation of Penal Code Section 368B1, which is abuse of a dependent adult. We filed 6 counts of 273AA, which is child abuse or neglect. We have filed 12 counts of false imprisonment. The date range of these charges, they range from 2010 to the present. And the physical location, of course, is in Riverside County, alleged to have occurred in Murrieta and also Paris. If convicted of these charges, if convicted of all of these charges as currently filed, these defendants are facing up to 94 years to life in prison.
2 days later, on January 18th, David and Louise Turpin plead not guilty. And they plead not guilty to numerous allegations.
Their parents pleading not guilty to 50 charges of torture, false imprisonment, and child abuse.
And the Riverside County District Attorney holds another news conference to explain what's going on. And he says that the children were taunted with food and starved to the point of stunting their growth. They were beaten, choked, and chained. I mean, this is nuts. This story is literally ripped out of the script of a horror movie. It is truly disgusting. David Turpin is also accused of sexual abuse at that time. Jordan, the 17-year-old daughter who escaped, told authorities that when she was 12 years old, her father, David, pulled her underwear down, sat her in his lap, and tried to kiss her on the lips. She told authorities that the encounter abruptly ended when David heard the mother, Louise, coming down the hall. And he told Jordan, don't talk about it, don't tell your mom. Louise's sister, Elizabeth, spoke and did an interview shortly after the arrest. And she says that she went to the jail to visit Louise and that Louise was so disconnected from reality. And she legitimately thought that she was going to get out and that she and the children were gonna play board games. That is what she told her sister, Elizabeth. Which that is extremely bizarre and is either a testament to her mental health and there being an issue there, or she really is just that disconnected from reality that she doesn't see the severity of what was done and what these charges are that have been brought against her. Which then poses a completely different question of, was she brainwashed? And is that why she was so disconnected? Because the couple did marry when she was 16 and David was 23. So over the course of all of these years, and because she was so young and impressionable, did he groom her to his lifestyle? Is that why she doesn't understand why it's such a big deal and how severe this really is? Because she was so used to it at this point and brainwashed to think that it was okay? I don't know. The paternal grandparents of the Turpin children also speak out, and they say that they were completely surprised and shocked by these allegations that have surfaced. And they say that they had talked to David once or twice, but that they haven't visited in several years. And they say that when they did visit several years ago, all of the grandchildren looked healthy and seemed happy, so they didn't suspect anything was going on. So now we fast forward all the way to June 20th, 2018, and the Turpins have their first hearing. And the purpose of that preliminary hearing was to show the evidence and probable cause to the judge to get an indictment. So during that hearing, the 911 call is played. The prosecution also shows a photo of two of the children chained up, and the judge rules that, of course, there is enough evidence to go to trial. Now, this is where all of the evidence and all of the history slowly begins to unfold. The children were permitted no other activities except writing in journals. So when police went to the scene and searched the house, they found hundreds of journals that these children wrote. And luckily for them, it outlined everything, all of the gruesome details, all the horrific moments, and basically everything that is going to get these two horrible human beings locked up. These journals supplied an incredible amount of evidence, and it begins by outlining how the parents beat, starved, choked, and chained all of the children, ranging all the way from age 2 to 29. And it outlines how the reign of this terror really began 18 years ago when their old house was found with scratch marks on the walls and feces on the wall, which I don't even know how that gets there. And the closets were converted into cages. I mean, it is honestly a Stephen King movie. It is a Stephen King movie. And the abuse intensified over time. What started as child neglect became severe, pervasive, prolonged child abuse. The children were confined to their rooms for up to 20 hours a day. They were only allowed to shower once a year. They have never seen a dentist, and the last time they went to the doctor was 4 or 5 years ago. The children were also forbidden to socialize with each other. And whenever they were caught trying to take food, because of course they were starving, the parents would chain them to their beds as punishment. The parents also banned the kids from exercising, and the children were only allowed to sit down or lie down in their rooms. They weren't allowed to stand. Which makes me wonder, is that why this house was completely covered in filth and boxes and junk, because it then made it physically impossible for anybody to stand because there was no standing room? Either way, the children were only allowed to sit down or lie down, which I'm sure also plays into why their growth was so stunted. It's so heartbreaking. The journals also outline how the parents would feed the children bologna and jalapeno sandwiches while indulging in these amazing great meals themselves right in front of them. And Luis and David would buy these great beautiful desserts and beautiful pies and leave them on the counter to taunt the kids, and would leave them for so long that the food became moldy and infested. I mean, they were truly trying to do some psychological damage to these children. At one point, one of the daughters, who was 9 years old at the time, was caught stealing food. And her mom, Louise, tells her, "Bring me your cat." Her mom put the cat outside and made this little 9-year-old girl watch as wild dogs tore this cat to shreds, making her daughter literally watch as the dogs ate her pet cat in front of her. It is horrifying. They weren't allowed to play with any of the toys they had. When the parents would buy them toys, they would keep it in the packages and put them in the closet, but the children were not allowed to touch them or play with them. Again, abusing them mentally and maybe trying to even condition them. The children weren't allowed to ever go outside, so essentially they could never even have the option to escape. It was also written that the Turpin family, including the parents and the children, would sleep all day and then were awake all through the night until 5 a.m. When the children were evaluated at the hospitals, most of them had muscle wasting and some of them were underweight as much as 32 pounds. Two of the daughters will never be able to have children and suffer from psychosocial dwarfism, which is a growth disorder caused by severe stress. So now there is an overwhelming amount of evidence here. And finally, on February 22nd, 2019, Luis and David agree to a plea deal. They plead guilty to 1 count of torture, 4 counts of false imprisonment, 6 counts of cruelty to a dependent adult, and 3 counts of willful child cruelty.
Count 1, which is a violation of torture. How do you plead to that charge, sir?
Guilty.
And Mrs. Turpin?
Guilty.
Dependent adult abuse?
Guilty.
Child endangerment?
Guilty.
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 And David and Luis Turpin are sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole in 25 years, which could put them out as early as 2044, which in my opinion, that sentence is very, very lax, and it should have been much harsher. However, when handing down the sentence, this is what the judge says. The only reason that your sentence is less than the maximum time allowed is because you accepted responsibility in an early part of the proceeding. And with that, you spared your children having to relive that harm and humiliation by going through a trial. In November 2021, Diane Sawyer sat down with Jordan Turpin for an interview. And what Jordan said
it still gives me chills. When Diane told her that she couldn't imagine how she found the courage to escape, to call the police, to save her siblings after a lifetime of isolation, Jordan's response was both heartbreaking and also inspiring. You know when the air starts getting crisper and the holidays are like right around the corner? Because that is my favorite time of year, and it's my favorite time to start living in cozy layers. And this year, you've heard me tell you before, but I'm telling you again, it is all about Quince. Because Quince delivers the timeless, luxurious pieces that actually will last. Like their $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters, their Italian wool coats, these silk tops that make you look just effortlessly put together without the high-end markup. And honestly, their coats are at like the top of my list because the quality rivals designer brands, but at a fraction of the price. One of these days, I think I am going to do like a full closet haul and just show you every single item I have purchased from Quince because there are so many. And what I love the most about Quince is that they work directly with top tier factories, cutting out the middleman and keeping prices about 50% less than similar brands. So you're getting the same incredible quality, ethically made, but for way less. So step into the holiday season with layers that feel good, look polished, and last from Quince. Perfect for gifting or for keeping for yourself. And go to quince.com/10to-life for free shipping and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/10to-life for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
I think it was like us coming so close to death so many times, and like I was worried about my siblings, and when I saw them crying and worried, I just felt like I had to do it. I wanted to help everyone.
Now, something when my sister and I were recapping all this, because as you know, my sister Amy is obsessed with true crime as much as I am. As we were talking about it, she asked a really important question that I'm sure tons of people have on their minds too. And that was, what was the motive? They appeared in court to be remorseful. They appeared to love their children. They were in tears. What was the motive here? Why were they doing this to them? And moreover, you would assume because of their actions that they hated their children. So why did they continue to have more children? And that felt like a really fair and interesting question. And my immediate response was, I believe it all boiled down to control. I think that it stemmed from the father. And I think that then the mother also kind of was brainwashed a little bit because remember, they got married super duper young. And I think it was more just a power control, you know, I'm going to dictate what you can wear, what you can eat, what you can do, if you can stand, if you disobey, I'm going to show you that I'm the one in control and I have the power. So I'm going to chain you to this bed. It just seemed more of a brainwash to like break them down, of course. But again, the reason why and the motive, I think, comes down to power and control. Now, this is the part where I truly wish that I could say that the torment finally ended, that after everything that these kids went through, they were safe at last. They were going to be loved. They were going to be taken care of. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case, because what came next was not only absolute evil, but it also revealed just how deeply the system failed the Turpin siblings, especially five of them who were placed in a new home with a foster family that was about to become their next nightmare. Many of these Turpin siblings who were taken away from their biological home and put in a new home with a new foster family were just once again subjected to absolute cruelty. And these foster parents, along with their oldest daughter, were arrested and charged with some pretty horrific stuff. Now, what kills me about this entire thing is that the caseworker for these children, when they were first removed from their parents' house, had said that she personally was so distraught by everything that she was going to make sure that she personally oversaw the case and their placement to make sure that this would never happen again and that they were placed in a good foster home. And not only did she not do that, but now when she's being questioned, she is not answering anything. So now not only have these children been put into a new foster home where they again are being treated horribly, but all of the money that was also once awarded to these kids has been held away from them. So they don't even have the means to build a life of their own outside of these, you know, horrible homes that they are being put into.
A new report by ABC's 2020 alleges that since the 13 Turpin siblings escaped their abusive parents, they have been marred by Riverside County's missteps and mistakes in their case. The case captivated the nation when the Turpin parents were arrested in 2018 and later convicted on 14 felony counts. The children all had spent most of their lives indoors and hidden from the outside world. They were regularly beaten and starved, sometimes chained to their beds or put in cages for breaking house rules. Those rules included keeping their hands off their parents' food and remaining seated unless directed otherwise. After escaping the home, which has become known as the House of Horrors, the seven minors were placed in foster homes. The report alleges that in one of the foster homes, several of the children were abused over an extended period of time. And in another home, a foster parent allegedly told one of the girls that she understands why her parents chained her up. The six adult siblings were all court-appointed a public guardian to manage their health care, nutrition, safety, housing, and education. But they were allegedly sent out into high-violence neighborhoods with little to no life skills. They had also allegedly been denied basic care from their public guardian, telling ABC that their guardian was often unwilling to offer simple support, such as teach them how to use public transportation, cross the street properly, and access their health care benefits. The older siblings have also struggled to find stable housing and even continue to starve. The report notes that the poor living conditions continued despite the siblings getting more than $600,000 in donations from strangers. It alleges that most of that money went into an official trust overseen by the court and hidden from public oversight. Riverside County District Attorney Mike Hestrin said that the public deserves to know what their government did and didn't do and how we failed these victims. He went on to say that it's unimaginable to him to see the worst case of child abuse, maybe the worst in California history, and not be able to get it together to give them basic needs, basic necessities. But the Turpins are a resilient bunch. The youngest four are now in a new foster home where their siblings say they are finally happy, and the rest are leaning on each other and learning to get by.
The five Turpin siblings were placed with the Olguins in April 2018, and this was just months after they were removed from their parents' home in Southern California. This new foster family lived in a five-bedroom house that was just 9 miles away from the home that they lived in with their parents and which they shared, which they were then removed. So very close by as far as proximity. But now there have been arrests made. Multiple arrests have been made as five of these siblings who were supposed to have been rescued have now allegedly gone through even worse circumstances with their foster parents, including two of the youngest siblings being essayed over 50 times by their foster father. So Marcelina Olguin is 63 years old, and he was arrested and charged with 7 counts of committing acts on a child and also charged with torture. His wife Rosa, 58 years old, and daughter Lenny, 37 years old, are accused of aiding and abetting him and also for participating in certain things. So they've also been charged in this case, all three of them now. So now let's go into those arrest affidavit documents where it outlines what's been going on with this foster family and what they have been putting these kids through all over again, guys. So the father was a creep, like the creep of all creeps, and apparently would tell the girls that they were sexy, and he would recommend that they not wear any undershirts, saying that they had beautiful skin and that they should show it. And he also reportedly forcibly kissed them and even pulled one of the younger ones on top of him. So the rest of the Olguin family is also accused of forcing the entire group of the Turpin children, the five that they had fostered, into a confession circle talk. And what they would do in this is basically admit to past behavior that their biological parents forced them to do on each other, if you catch my drift here. Now, why would they do this? I highly, highly doubt that it was an effort for some sort of therapy or healing, but rather I believe that it was because they got their own personal sick pleasure out of hearing the details and hearing the stories and having them recount what they went through. And the confession circles allegedly began soon after the children arrived at the foster home, despite the parents knowing and having full knowledge of what these kids had previously suffered at the hands of their biological parents. And one of the male Turpin siblings, who was also fostered by this family, was reportedly singled out in all of this and was treated horribly in addition to the girls, but also even worse because he wasn't a female. Allegedly, he was repeatedly imprisoned in his bedroom, he was cussed at, he was demeaned, and he was separated from his sisters. And apparently the foster family also intentionally ruined all of his media devices, phone, computer, iPad, whatever it was, they ruined all of it. And all five of the children were threatened repeatedly with never seeing their older siblings again if they didn't comply with the family's wishes. One of the youngest girls, who was just 5 years old, was also allegedly given a sleeping pill and then forced to stand against the wall while the defendants sprayed her with water and rang a bell in her ear. And the adults allegedly were saying to her, "You don't let us sleep, so we're not letting you sleep." And they gave her that sleeping pill. They were, you know, saying this in her ear, ringing the bell. And because of the sleeping pill, of course, the five-year-old ended up collapsing onto the floor. It's just brutal. They also locked this little girl in her room for 9 hours a day and then never changed her diaper, apparently. And court documents allege that they would frighten her by telling her that there were spiders in her bathroom. They would hold her in this dark, noisy, scary bathroom, which they also, by the way, put a large decorative spider on the wall at one point, and they would hold her in this room despite her panicking and despite her crying and pleading to get out. Just taking it to a whole new level. Like, while locking somebody in a room is one thing, not acceptable, but like that is a certain level of, you know, horrible behavior. But then to even go to the next level of putting a decorative spider to frighten them, it's just so mean. The documents go on to allege that they would physically hurt her with sandals, that they had choked her, threw her, and one time had knocked her front tooth out because they had thrown her down several stairs. The Olguins also apparently encouraged two of these foster children to fight each other, and the court papers allege this was like a version of Fight Club, and that at one point Rosa, the foster mother, is said to have actually dragged one of them by her hair so hard that it resulted in her hair being pulled out. The couple and their adult daughter also allegedly physically injured the children by pulling their hair, hitting them with a belt, and striking them in the head. Even more, they allegedly punished the children by forcing them to sit outside alone for many hours at a time, making them recount the horrors of living with their biological parents, telling them that they would be returned to their biological parents if they didn't behave. They also allegedly forced the kids to eat excessive amounts of food, which led to disorders, and they would then make them eat until they began to vomit. And after the kids began to vomit, they forced them to eat their own vomit. It is some of the cruelest actions I think I have ever heard. They were being tortured all over again after being assured that they would be taken care of and treated safely. The children were also allegedly forced to watch as a foster child in the adult daughter's care was severely physically injured. This family would force these children to relive their past over and over and over again. They would force the kids for hours to relive everything they went through. It is sick and just infuriating. Many of these children have never, for a single day, known what a life is like that doesn't include being treated this way by their parents. And think about that. They don't even know what a happy home feels like necessarily. A happy home with dinner every night, a warm bed, love in the home, you know, just warmth and happiness. Do they even know that that kind of home exists? And thinking about that realization really does break my heart. Thinking about the fact that maybe they thought that they had gotten ripped away from what was a horrible home and then got put in a new home, which was, yes, hell, but perhaps they didn't even recognize that this new home was hell. Perhaps they thought that it was better than their original home and that this is what it's supposed to be like and this is what a normal home is like, when in reality, it is such a stark difference from that. It's just really unsettling.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
On July 20th, 2022, Jordan Turpin and five of her siblings filed lawsuits against Riverside County and ChildNet Youth and Family Services, which is a private foster care agency. In the complaint, they alleged multiple violations as they endured continued abuse at the hands of their new foster guardians. Allegedly, Mr. and Mrs. O had a prior history of physically and emotionally abusing, as well as severely neglecting children who had been placed in their care. And these complaints against the parents and their oldest daughter were allegedly all documented with that agency. So in this latest complaint from the Turpins, it alleges that Mr. O committed sex crimes against Turpin Jane Doe 5 and her siblings by grabbing and fondling their butt, legs, and other private parts, also kissing them on the mouth and making extremely sexually suggestive comments about them. Just sick and foul. Now, what really angers me here is at least one of the siblings during this time had conversations with their social worker in which she conveyed what was happening inside the home and asked for help. The Turpin children spoke up about what was happening in the foster home, but many times they were just shut down, they weren't listened to, and they were hushed by all of the employees of that private foster care agency. The entire county of Riverside and this ChildNet foster agency turned their heads and closed their eyes as some of Riverside's most vulnerable children were being horrifically abused for a second time. It is simply unacceptable. A month before the family was arrested, Jordan Turpin, the daughter who saved her siblings from their first house of horrors, was placed in another foster home from that one, but was then kicked out while she was visiting her sister. She later discovered that documents filed in court falsely stated that she was in college and residing in her own apartment. Which, how does that happen? How are these kids put in another foster home, then one of them is kicked out, and how can you falsify records saying that she's now living in an apartment on her own? How is there not follow-up? How is this slipping through the cracks? So from there, she just started bouncing between her siblings' homes and often went hungry. And one day, Jordan decided she was going to walk into a Taco Bell and ask for a job because she was desperate. They offered her the night shift and she took it because she was so hungry and needed money. And she said that there were some nights when she would have to walk alone to work in the middle of the night for over an hour just to get to her shift so that she could afford to eat. And Jordan did an interview with People Magazine. And in this interview, she said that at that point in her life, she slid into a very deep depression. And she is quoted saying, "I'm not ready to go into details about what happened to me in that home," meaning this new foster home. "I was very traumatized, and it has been a very scary journey. It was really hard to understand the first situation with my parents, but then going into another, that was just really, really hard. You have all of these questions, and you just don't get the answer." I can't even imagine. Like, how do you reconcile that? You escape one darkness horrible circumstance just to be put into not only another, but one that's potentially and admittedly even worse. She says it was impossible to sleep and that every time her eyes would close, she would dream about being in that first foster home, and that she also had to go to the emergency room a lot because of this, saying that she was just really, really broken. Thankfully, in October of 2024, after years of waiting for justice, the foster parents and their daughter were finally sentenced. Their foster father, if you can even call him that, received 7 years in prison, but the foster mother and their daughter, they only received just 4 years of probation each. Absolutely unacceptable and just appalling. How is that even a sentence? One of the Turpin survivors also wrote a victim impact statement that was read aloud in court, which it said, "All I wanted was to finally have a loving family and recover from my trauma. But unfortunately, I did not receive that." I mean, it's truly just gutting. These kids were promised safety, promised love, a new future, a new hope. That's really the key word here, hope, right? But instead, they were re-traumatized, and re-traumatized in such a vile, invasive, and personal way. These sick, deranged monsters not only decided to inflict this horrific horror on them, but also, for their own sick, twisted perversions, exploit their previous trauma, make them relive it as if it were entertainment while they just watched. It is truly the definition of evil. Yet still, with the sentencing, prosecutors called it an important step toward justice. But honestly, it feels like a reminder that the system still doesn't know how to protect its most vulnerable. And that was actually made official in 2022 when an independent investigation that was commissioned by Riverside County found that the Turpin siblings were repeatedly failed by the social services system that was meant to protect and support them. And this report detailed massive issues inside the Department of Public Social Services. I'm talking issues like chronic understaffing, extreme caseloads, high turnover. Some workers were handling up to 113 cases each, which the recommended number, 30. Now, even more shocking in all of this, the investigators found that although the adult Turpin children were receiving supplemental security income, many were still struggling to afford food or housing because millions of dollars that had been donated in funds for them that was meant to help them, it was tied up for years. Which, imagine surviving what they did. But then you have to fight for basic resources that the public had already raised on your behalf, going through all of that trauma, trying to come out of it the other side, yet you still are struggling while millions of dollars are just sitting in this fund. You still are struggling to afford housing, food, basic necessities. It's unacceptable. The investigation also pointed to conflicts between the county attorneys, the DA's office, and the public guardian, which apparently may have made it harder for the siblings to trust the very people who were meant to help them. The one person that the investigators did praise, however, was attorney Jack Osborne, the court-appointed lawyer who has been with the Turpins since the very beginning and continues to advocate for them to this very day. Also, in July of 2022, six of the Turpin siblings filed lawsuits against both Riverside County and the private foster agency ChildNet Youth and Family Services. These lawsuits were for the abuse that they had suffered after being rescued. And as of right now, those cases are finally nearing a settlement. Court documents show that there's something called, quote, a minor's compromise that's pending, which basically, it's a legal review that ensures that any agreement truly benefits the children involved. Then, once that's finalized, it will protect their interests and it'll make sure that the funds are properly handled. If, however, Riverside County's Board of Supervisors rejects the deal, the case will head right back to court, with the next hearing currently scheduled for later this year. Which means even 7 years after their rescue, these siblings are still having to fight through different legal red tape just to get the justice and the support that they were promised. Yet despite all of this, there is some light in all of this too. Jordan and Jennifer, the two sisters who first went public, have both built incredible lives for themselves. Jordan, who we first saw bravely tell her story on 2020, has since become a motivational advocate for trauma recovery. She also moved into her own home in 2023, where she now lives with, get this, 4 dogs and 4 guinea pigs. So basically, she is just surrounded by love, which, quite frankly, is the way that it should have always been. She's also been very open about learning how to navigate independence and her mental health after all of the years of control and isolation. Yet through it all, she continues to inspire millions of people online with her story of survival and healing. Her sister Jennifer has also just been thriving. She got married in October of 2024 in a very cool, very, you know, fashion-forward, gothic-style ceremony in Rancho Cucamonga. And yes, all of the siblings were there, which, honestly, that is just such a beautiful full-circle moment for a family that has endured so much darkness together to finally be in a moment where you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, new families being built together, love, togetherness. It's just extremely powerful and also really inspiring. And that's what's so powerful about these siblings. No matter how far apart their lives have taken them, they're still standing side by side. And something that only recently came to light is during the Paley Honors Gala in December of 2024, Oprah Winfrey revealed that actor and filmmaker Tyler Perry had been quietly helping the Turpin siblings behind the scenes. He had seen Diane Sawyer's 2020 special from years earlier, and he was so moved that he decided to step in privately, offering financial, psychological, and emotional support without ever going public. Which, that kind of compassion, it really shows that there are still good people out there, people who act simply because it's the right thing to do, not for the attention or the accolades that it may bring. When I look back on this case now, it's impossible not to feel both heartbreak and absolute awe. Heartbreak because these kids were failed over and over again, yet awe because they never stopped fighting. From escaping their parents' house of horrors to surviving abuse again in foster care to now finally rebuilding their lives with strength that honestly most of us can't even imagine. The Turpin siblings are living proof of resilience. And maybe that's the real takeaway here, that systems can fail, people can look away, but that healing, it still finds a way. It finds a way in. It's a reminder that survival isn't just about getting out, but it's about learning how to live again after. And for the Turpin siblings, that story is still being written. I'm Annie Elise. Thank you all again for tuning in to another episode of 10 to Life Reopened. And as always, stay safe. Bye.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.